We just thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for being so good to us. And Lord, bringing us together this morning to lift you up in praise and worship, Father, we just ask you to be with this service. Just anoint it with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Speak to hearts. And Lord, we pray for those ones that couldn't be here this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow, I'm sounding good and loud this morning. Let's get up and praise the Lord this morning. God is good.
Let's
the river flow, let the river flow, let the river flow. Amen. Let the river flow. What he stole from me, yes, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Yeah, he's under my feet, oh, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, yeah, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, well, he's under my feet, Satan is under my feet. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Go get it. Took back what he stole from me, yes, I took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Yeah, he's under my feet, well, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, yeah, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, well, he's under my feet, Satan is under my feet. I want to do something a little bit different this morning. I was thinking about this when we were singing this. When we sing this part, it says, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. I want you to shout out something that the enemy stole from me. Your family, your finances, your children. We're going to claim it this morning, and we're going to go back and get what the devil took from us, okay? So when we get to that part, it says, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Then I want you to shout it out right there and claim it. Your vision, your eyes, Miss Mitchell, that those bloodshot eyes this morning, give them back to him. Give it to the devil. Let the Lord take it back. Here we go. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Yes, I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp. I can't hear you. And I took back what he stole from me. Yeah, he's under my feet. Well, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. Yeah, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. Oh, he's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? He cleansed me, he turned my life around, he set my feet upon a solid ground. Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? Let's sing it to him, let's testify this morning. Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? He saved me, he cleansed me, he turned my life around, he set my feet upon a solid ground. Can you believe what the Lord has done in me? Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Yeah. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. Well, just in time, I'm going to praise his name. Each day is just the same. Come on, praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. You didn't do it, he did it. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. Well, just in time, oh, I'm going to praise his name. Each day is just the same. Come on, praise him. You gotta praise him. Come on and praise him. You wanna praise him. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Look what he's done.
I'll lead us in worship.
Yep. I will serve you.
Good morning. Good to see you. This morning after the message, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, communion. It's a different way that we're doing it, but we're going to try it this way. If you don't have a communion cup and you want to participate in communion, would you raise your hand and we'll get you one? Anybody not get one? And after the message, we're going to read some scripture and explain how to get into this thing, okay? I'll just tell you, there's a top layer you want to pull off, and the bread there is there, and then the next layer to pull off is for the cup. And we will be doing it that way. And I've never done it that way before, but when Jesus gathered with his followers, his disciples, they were most likely laid around a table, laid out. They didn't have little cups like we do, and probably pulled off a piece of the bread and passed the cup around. So it's been done many different ways. And the whole point of it is to remember his sacrifice for us. And that's what we're going to do today. I've been missing. How many of you have been missing communion over the months here. And so it was time. So we figured out a way. We've been speaking over the last 6 weeks or so about really, how to say it, hey, what do we do no matter what's going on? I've been thinking in terms of we got marching orders. God's told us what to do, and we've been looking at it about doing justly, doing the right thing in God's sight, before him and by people, love mercy, walk humbly with God, seeking to keep a clear conscience as we make our way through this life. We've spoken about hope was the last message I brought about our hope, not just wishing, not just optimism, although optimism is a good thing, but we also need a real dose of realism in life too, don't we? But there is a hope that we have that the scripture tells us not to lose sight of. Last week, Pedro brought a message about praying and encouraged us to pray. And today, we're going to talk about persevering. Patient endurance is the word in our translation. Let's bow our heads and let's pray, and then I'm going to read a passage of scripture and share with you something I found I think you might find interesting. And then we're going to be speaking about Abram this morning. His name was changed a little later in the story to Abraham, and we're not going to take the whole story about Abraham, but we're going to take a slice of it and take a look at something that we hope to encourage each of us today in our lives. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, for health and strength to be here. And Lord, we do lift up those who cannot be here. And Lord, we ask you to help them, those who are sick. Lord, those who are dealing with loss in their lives. And Lord, we ask you to bring comfort to them. And Lord, as we're gathered here today, please help us to hear from your word. And Lord, we pray your spirit would speak to our hearts, our spirits, our minds, our wills, Lord, and help us to seek you, to hunger for your will in our lives. And Lord, please help us as we open your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading from really two passages of scripture today. Basically, there'll be a few other verses. The first is Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to also get into Hebrews 11, but then we're going to turn back to Genesis chapter 12, where we first read about Abram. So I'm going to begin reading Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 36. The writer says this: think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. That's the hope that we spoke about 2 weeks ago, a hope that cannot be taken from us. But here's where we get into the heart of the matter, verses 35 and 36. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Verse 36, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. And I found this, I want to share with you, as I was putting the message together and studying this week, I read this. How many of you know the story behind Walt Disney and Mickey Mouse? Does anybody know the story? It's a pretty interesting story. It's a story of incredible perseverance. I will just tell you this, I found this, I'm going to read a bit of it and share with you about this guy who came up with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, Snow White, and Pluto, and all the rest. Walt Disney, as a young man, he was gifted with drawing, and he wanted to be a cartoonist, an artist. And the first job he had, he was fired from a newspaper. His very first job as a cartoonist, they said he didn't have enough creativity. He sought to continue. He knew he could draw, so he didn't give up. And he put together a company, And that company ended up going bankrupt, just barely got off the ground. He took what little money he had left over and went to Hollywood, California, and there began to draw. He created a character called Oswald the Rabbit. Anybody here ever heard of Oswald the Rabbit? Never heard of him. But he created this character, Oswald the Rabbit, put together an animation team, and the series was popular and was really moving forward, but he lost everything. The people who were distributing Oswald the Rabbit claimed they owned the rights to the character, and they secretly hired all of Walt's entire animation staff out from underneath him to where he had nothing. He was discouraged, but he refused to give up, and he went into work creating a new character, one that was based on an adopted pet in his studio. It was a mouse. And that day, Mickey Mouse was born, and the rest, they say, is history. Think of what the world would have lost if Walt Disney had not have persevered and pressed on. And who knows what the world may lose if you don't continue forward with the plans and the dreams that God has placed on your heart. You know, I read this as well. How many of you saw the movie Mary Poppins? It's considered a classic. And there was a movie made about it. I think it was called Saving Mrs. Banks or something recently. Yeah. Do you know that he visited the author of that story 16 times? Over 16 years, every year he would go and try to talk to this author to talk her into letting this be made into a movie. And finally, he persevered, and she did, and you know the story there. But you know there's an even greater story of perseverance in our Bibles, and we're going to read that today. I want to stay in Hebrews chapter 11 now. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 16, and then we're going to go right to the story in Genesis chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Verse 9, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland, and that is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now let's turn over to Genesis 12, and let's take a look here at this story of Abram. Said his name would later be changed to Abraham. We're at Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. And what we see here in these verses is this, that God had called Abraham to do something, to establish a nation. It would be a people of faith. Look at verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you." Leave your country, leave your community, leave your family, everything you know, and go up to a place that you know little about. Imagine getting a call like that from God, and you think, boy, everything that I know, everything that I'm familiar with, God, are you sure? Well, here's what God promised Abram. Let's take a look, verses 2 and 3. It says, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Now, that is a huge statement, and it's one that you and I see the results of even today. You know where it says you will be a blessing to others? Through Abraham's lineage, Jesus came, the Savior of the world. And when it says there, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you, I was curious about this. And these days you can look up on your computer or your phone, the Abrahamic faiths, those who look to Abraham, Judaism, Christianity, and also Islam. Also, although Islam has a different take on it, completely different, by the way, they developed their faith around 700 AD, 7th century, 600 AD, some 600 years after the establishment of the church. And so they kind of created their own prophets and their own system. But all three of these major faiths in the world look to Abraham. The Bible says that God told him, I will make your name great. You know what I looked at? I was curious. Over 55, almost 56% of the world's total population looks to Abraham and knows the name of Abraham. So when God told Abraham, leave your country, leave all you know, and go to the place that I've prepared for you, I'm going to make your name great, you and I know that it happened, all right? It has happened. And so that's an amazing thing. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. I want to read these verses for you. This is here in the book of Galatians. Paul is writing here about faith and those who have faith like Abraham did, believing God. Verses 6 through 9 of chapter 3. Let me read these verses. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. So when God told him there, we read about it in Genesis chapter 12, that all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. If your faith is in Christ today, you are blessed because of what God did in Abraham's life. What an amazing story. And you know, these things that God told Abraham provide some important things. Provides meaning for life, provides identity, and provides security. God said to Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless, and those who treat you with contempt, I will deal with them. Do you know that's what all of humanity is looking for? Meaning for identity. Who am I? What am I doing here? What is my purpose? And security, a sense that there is something greater than us that looks over us. And you know, the chapter before this, chapter 11, tells about the people of a place called Babel, okay? There in the Fertile Crescent between the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. There was a civilization, and they could build. And you read about it. We could actually turn there. Let's turn to Genesis 11 and verse 4. They determined, hey, we can build. Let's build ourselves a tower that reaches to the heavens, and then nobody will touch us. Let me read the verse for you. Genesis 11, verse 4. They said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us what? Famous, okay? Identity. In other words, they're establishing their own identity. We can do this, and we're going to make ourselves great. And will keep us from being scattered all over the world. And in the sense, they were looking for security, saying, we have got it covered. You know, human achievement and development we're blessed with, but it should not cause us to think that we have replaced God. Don't you see that? Going way back, we make some advancements as humans, and somehow we think we don't need God anymore. And God, you know this, if you know the story, God came down there and scattered that. And sent the people out and confused their languages. So what we read here in this, going back to chapter 12, and look at verse 4. It says this, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. Abram believed God, and he obeyed. You know, someone once said, and it is, I think, a great definition of faith. Faith is doing what God says, knowing that at some time in the future, I'll be glad I did. Does that sound like a good definition of faith for you? Believing God. We might not see the results of it right now. How many of you in your own life can say, you know, I trusted God regarding something in my life, and you know what? I didn't like how it was looking right then, but I can tell you today, I'm glad that I believed God, and I'm glad that I obeyed. And that's what Abraham did. Abram did. He believed God, and he obeyed. He departed as the Lord had instructed. The preacher Charles Spurgeon made this statement. He said, faith and obedience are bound up in the same bundle. He that obeys God trusts God, and he that trusts God obeys God. Now, that's something to think about, isn't it? Faith and obedience. And we see this in this story, that Abram believed God, and then he obeyed. He believed God when he didn't know the where, he didn't know the why, and he very likely didn't know the how it was going to all turn out. Leaving the familiar, leaving the known, and leaving the comfortable to follow God. I had been reading there, and this is only what archaeologists and people who have studied history have said, is that the place where he was, the family had lived down further south and east in a place called Ur of the Chaldees, a very developed civilization, and Terah, that is Abram's father, took Abram and some of the family up to a place called Haran, and that's further north and west, and they stayed there for a while, and then after Abram's father died, Abram gets the call, and they travel about 300 miles down to Canaan, the promised land, the place that God had called them to. And what we read and what they are just coming up with is that Haran was very likely a very developed civilization as well. They have found temples. They have found many artifacts. They found a lot of houses. Many of the people were nomadic. They lived in tents. But it's very likely that Abram and his people, his family, made a move from a very developed place to a very undeveloped place. Imagine you picking up and leaving your home with air conditioning and microwaves and TVs, flat screen TVs and computers, and going and living in a tent for a long time, maybe the rest of your life. Does that sound pretty tempting to some of y'all? Out in the desert territory. So this was a big move. And you know what Abram did? He trusted his family, his possessions, his reputation, and his future to God's care. God said, Abram, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to bless you, but here's what you need to do. And Abram believed God, and he obeyed. He departed. We read in this same passage here of Genesis chapter 12. Look at verse 7. The first mention here of something, and it'll be mentioned several times again. Here's what we read. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. Throughout the book of Genesis, even to Isaac and to Jacob, is this promise, you will receive the inheritance of the land. Let me ask you a question, those of you that know some history and geography. Who's living on that land today? God's people. Now, a whole bunch of other folks are as well. I read this, that when the description Abram received encompassed about 300,000 square miles. The description. You can read about it in Genesis 13, 15, and also chapter 17 and verse 8 describes it as well. Do you know at the height of their power was under Solomon that they only held control over 30,000 square miles? So all that God had prepared and given to his people, you know the story, they lacked faith, they lacked the will to go and claim it and to take it. That's a part of their history. But Abram receives this promise of land, and we read there that Abram built an altar and he worshiped God. That altar was a place of communion with God. It was a reminder of his encounter that God had come to him in his life, helping Abram to remember why he was where he was, out there in the tent in the middle of the desert. But let's take a look at this story as we read on. We go to verse 10, and something unexpected happens. happens here in this story. Verse 10, we read this: at that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. He was really out of his element. And so he made his way down to Egypt. A severe famine is what the passage says. Now, this was in the very place that God had directed him to. Imagine the questions and the doubts that Abram and his family must have had. Did I really get what God was telling me? Anybody here ever had a situation where you really felt that God was leading you to something, and you did, and when you got there, it just was an absolute wreck? Has that ever happened to anybody here? And you ask yourself, did I get something wrong here? Did I misread God's will, God's direction for my life? Could you imagine the questions that Abram and his family must have had? You know, friends, it was a test of faith, to be sure. But we read this, that Abram didn't bail out, and he didn't head back home. He didn't forget about faith. He didn't forget about God's promises. I want us to go back to, I'm going to ask Eddie if you would please bring it up, Hebrews 11 and verse 5. As I was looking over these verses, I'm sorry, verse 15, Eddie. Hebrews 11, verse 15. This small verse jumped out at me. Look here. It's description of faith and those who had faith. And it says here, if they longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. How easy would it have been for Abram and his family, having gotten to Canaan, to the promised land, and you find out there's a famine, no food, how easy would it have been to say, adios, I'm going back home. But Abram didn't. He hung in there and continued to trust God in that. The famine, it says, was so severe that he was forced to go southwest into Egypt to find food. By the way, it's the first mention of Egypt. It's interesting, in the scriptures, when Egypt is mentioned, it is typically used as a place to say, you know, you're going to man for help and you're forgetting who God is. Throughout Israel's history, they appealed to Egypt numerous times and it didn't work out. And it's a lesson for us, when things get tight, don't just look to man, but look to God. And don't go into Egypt and not consider what God's got for you. Now, we recognize this, that Abram was a man of faith. The Bible says so. But we're going to see here that his faith was shaky at times. And here is a situation that we will take a look at. We're in verses 11 through 16 of Hebrews chapter 12. So they come to the border of Egypt, and Abram turns to his wife. Her name was Sarai. Her name would be changed as well a little bit later to Sarah. And he says this to her. He says, look, you're a beautiful woman. When they see you, they're going to say, let's kill him so that we can have her. So here's what I want you to do. Tell them that you're my sister, okay? And that way they're going to spare my life and they're going to treat me right. That's in verse 13. We can read it here. Verse 13, please tell them you're my sister, then they'll spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you. You know, tell them you're my sister. You know what, friends? That was a half-truth. In chapter 20 of Genesis, before Abram and Sarai ever left Haran, Abram said, look, this is how we're going to do this. When we go out of this territory, I'm going to ask you, whoever we meet, you just tell them you're my sister, and that way I'm not going to get killed over this. And it says in chapter 20, I'm not going to turn to it, you can, if you'd like to look, verses 11 through 13, that she was his half-sister. She was truly his half-sister. You know what, friends? A half-truth is a total lie. You ever heard that? A half-truth is a total lie. Its intent is to deceive. And that's what happened there. By the way, it wasn't the only time that Abram put his wife up to telling this lie. Several chapters later, it would also be told to a king by the name of Abimelech, and it would not turn out well again. And that's exactly what happened. Word got to Pharaoh that Sarah was a beautiful woman, And Pharaoh brought her into his harem, his group of women. And Pharaoh gave Abram lots of gifts. You can read that, verses 14 through 16. Abram must have thought it was more effective to just deceive this king than to trust God with this potential problem that they were going to face. In other words, he thought maybe God needed to be helped out in this situation. Anybody here ever done that? God, I'm trusting you with my eternal destiny, but I don't know if you can take care of this one right here. Is that, anybody ever done that? That's pretty familiar territory, isn't it? We'll trust him with heaven. We'll trust him with forgiving our sins, but we'll tell a half-truth to get what we want. Remember, a half-truth is a total lie. Log that one away, all right? Well, that's exactly what happened. Abram was found out, and then he was sent out. He was ordered out in shame from Egypt. God's prophet ordered to leave Egypt in shame. And what does Abram do? Let's take a look at chapter 13 here, 13 verses 1 through 4. So Abram left Egypt and traveled north into the Negev. The Negev is that desert area there south of Palestine. And so, along with his wife and Lot and all that they owned, Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. So he had left Haran, a wealthy man, many flocks, his livestock, which was a real form of currency, and some silver and gold. And then he was enriched even more while he was in Egypt. And some people said, boy, Abram played it right, didn't he? I mean, he slipped out of Egypt in shame, but he had all that stuff from Pharaoh. Let me tell you something. We're not going to get into it today, but in Egypt, his wife and he picked up a maidservant by the name of Hagar, an Egyptian, who would later on cause much grief to Abram, to Sarai, and in essence to God's people, because it was from the child that was produced with Abraham and Hagar was Ishmael. And from Ishmael came 12 tribes that continued to harass, and many believe continue to harass, the people of God to this day. Many of them make up what was we called the Arab nation. All right? And so you can see this history just goes through the years. So Abram didn't get off scot-free. All right? But here's what he did. Look at chapter 13. We read this, that they continued on. And verse 3, it says, from the Negev, they continued traveling by stages toward Bethel, and they pitched their tents toward Bethel and Ai, where they had camped before. This was the same place where Abram had built the altar, and there he worshiped the Lord again. So he returned to the place where he had worshiped God before. He returned to that place. He went, in essence, back home. So, as I said today, this is just a thin slice of the story of Abraham. There is so much to it. There is so much for us to understand and to apply to our lives. But there's one thing that I really stood out in this story, and I've been thinking about it throughout this week, and wanted to bring it to the church here today. The first is this, and this is just an additional thought, and that is this: the call that came to Abram comes to each one of us as well, and that is this, to believe God and to obey him. That's the call that came to Abram. He didn't have all the answers. There were sacrifices involved, but he believed God and he obeyed God. And the call for us is to place our full confidence and trust in God, to take him at his word like Abram did, and to step out and follow him in simple, obedient faith. In the process, we may have to leave the known, the familiar, the comfortable, to walk in God's ways. And, you know, I recognize that we got our own folks here today who've been coming here for years and years, decades. But, you know, there are some young believers along the way. And it's important today to understand that to follow God, just like Abram, he left behind things that were pretty comfortable, wouldn't you say? Things that were pretty familiar. Things that were very well known to him to strike out, to hear what God had for him. And friends, just to tell you this, in following our Savior, following Christ, he leads us to something better. And if, you know, some people will not follow the Lord because they are afraid that somehow we're going to be told to do something we just don't like. Let me tell you, he's not going to lead us to what is not good. And those who have been following Christ and following the will of God for decades can say to anybody in this room, you know what? God's going to take you to where you need to be. You follow him. That's the testimony I've heard over and over again. And here's the second thought, and this is the main thing that I really wanted to speak to the church about, and that is this. Abram's faith was tested. Could you imagine high hopes, loading up all the family and the gear, and here are the promises that God has told me. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's going to be good. And you make your way there, and there's a famine. Tested. Why would God allow a famine to occur in the very place where he had just led Abram? Do you think that God led Abram all that way to have him just die there in Canaan? No, there was something more going on. And you know, this often happens to believers, to people of faith in our day. We determine by faith to follow God's leading. We read in his word. We hear from a message that says this is the will of God. And we don't just take what somebody says. We open up our Bibles and it says, yep, that's what I should be doing. And we say, that's what I'm going to do. And by faith, we set out in that direction. And then we meet with unexpected circumstances. Has that ever happened to anybody here in this room? The wheels just fall off. The very thing that you and I determined by faith that God would have us to do, we meet some resistance. And it's then that we determine, am I just going to cave? Am I going to go back home to my homeland? Or am I going to keep believing God and persevere and endure with some patience? Sometimes the promised land can be a hostile place. Sometimes it can be a hostile place for a while. And it takes time. We must persevere in this walk following Christ, faithfully doing our part. And God will fulfill his purposes in us and for us and bring about the harvest that he desires. I want to go back. I want to read the verse that we read earlier, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. And I would say if you remember scripture or try to quote scripture to bring Bible verses to your mind, here is a good one to put in that group. Hebrews 10 verse 36. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. There's another translation that says, for you have need of patience. After you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Friends, if Abram and his family coming into the promised land to Canaan, where all that future lie, and he comes face to face with an unexpected circumstance, famine in the land, and he just said, I didn't sign up for this. This isn't for me. And he headed back home. You and I wouldn't know what we know today, all right? I'm thinking about something, Roger, you said to me years ago when you first was in Palm City and you were going to that church there. And I remember you saying the day, you know, when you got saved, put your faith in Christ, you just thought, boy, everything's just going to work out great now. And how shocked you were to find out it didn't turn out that way. All right, there's still troubles. And so the walk of faith can be lean at times. The walk of faith, the path to God's promises, you can be living in some unsettled conditions for a while. But here's what patient endurance and perseverance does. It's like Walt Disney, not giving up. I know that this character that I've drawn can do something. And so he continued to believe. And Abram continued to believe God's promises. You know, the events, the effects and the results of God's promises and our faith and our obedience will eventually be revealed. In this life, sometimes we get to see what God reveals, but not always. The truth is, some things that you and I are walking obedience to God about, we will not see the results until we're on the other side of this life. You can count on it. But sometimes we get to see, and what a blessing it is, isn't it? When we believe God and we obey and we do what he's called us to do and we see the promises fulfilled. But we are told that on the other side of this life, we'll see it with beyond measure. And I've got three passages of scripture. I'm going to read them one right after the other as quick as I can turn to them. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. Here's what Paul wrote. And these are important passages for you and I to understand so that our perseverance can be developed, that we don't just give up when we come in face to face with an unexpected circumstance, when we run into leanness or famine in our walk, or when there's unsettled conditions. Let me read these. It says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are." Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18. "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." Think about that for a minute. The things that we see now, one of these days, they're going to be off the radar screen completely, aren't they? And think about this. I've asked the church this before. How many of you, you know, in your life, you know, you were pushing and pushing towards a goal, and it was, you were on it, all about it, and people would run from you because they got tired of hearing it. But you saw it happen, and it came to pass, and then 5 years later, you don't even think about it. That's the nature of what's going on here. But the things that you and I possess that are eternal, long time after all the stuff here we know is gone, that's still going to be in place and even greater. So keep your mind and your hearts fixed on these things. That's what Scripture says. One more passage here, 1 Peter chapter 1. I will tell you, you know, we, in our lives, we're reminded and brought to these truths oftentimes when we face difficulties, when we face death, when we face sickness, those that we know and love. It's a reminder that what we know here is not forever. We're not staying here forever. We're on our way to an eternal home. Let me read this passage as well. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. These were written to people who were going through real troubles and persecution, but they are great encouragement for us when we are going through unsettled times or going through times of leanness in our lives, when we are coming up against unexpected circumstances. Let me read. "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." So we've been talking about Abram and later Abraham. You know, God did much of the work in Abraham's life over a long period of time. And I want to just quickly review and we're going to wrap this up. Abram did not start on this adventure with God until he was 75 years of age. And along the way, he received the promise that he was going to have a son. And through that son that God promised, all of those other promises would be fulfilled. Okay? Couldn't be a great nation without a descendant. And so they were waiting for a son. They were aged, and their faith was tested 25 years before Isaac showed up in their tent. 25 years. And Abraham's descendants did not inherit the promised land until hundreds of years after his death. I'm not going to turn to it, but if you like taking a look at what the Bible reveals, Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 through 15, when God establishes a covenant with Abram, he tells Abram, he says, you're going to inherit this land that you're on. And he says, but it's not going to be for another 400 plus years. Your people, your descendants, are going to be taken slaves and are going to serve 400 years and then come into this land. And the full measure of God's promise that God gave to Abram, that your descendants are going to be like the sand by the seashore and by the stars in the night sky, is still being fulfilled now, thousands of years later. There was a nation that came out of Abraham. You and I know them, the people of God. They have a history. But there's another people, and there are people of faith that we read about, that those who have faith like Abraham, who believe God and trust in his promises, those are also sons of Abraham, children of Abraham. And so that number is growing and growing. I was mentioned to you a little bit earlier, I looked on Wikipedia, it's a few years back, that the most populous faith group in the world is the Christian faith. I think somewhere about 2.3 billion people. Next is Islam with about 1.9 billion. The Jewish faith, I think, was listed about 16 million. And so we see that these promises that were given thousands of years ago are actually in existence for our eyes to see and our ears to hear about. Amen to that? And you and I can trust God on that. Here's the message today, friends, before we take time to think about our Lord's sacrifice for us. And that is this. The real heart of this message is this. If God is guiding and leading you, and you're convinced it's what God has for you, and I would say check it out with Scripture. Don't just take other Christians' words for it. Find out what God has to say. Pray about it. And set out to walk in obedience like Abram did. It may be that you will leave behind what is familiar and comfortable to do what God has to say, but you'll be blessed in doing it. There'll be a day when you'll say, I'm glad I did. Lord, I'm glad I believed you. And so here's the point. You're going to come up against some unexpected circumstances. Don't let that stop you in your Christian walk and your following the Lord. I wish I could tell people who come to this church or any other church, look, you come to church, everybody's going to behave like they ought to behave, and they're going to love you like Christians ought to. Sorry, we don't always pull it off. I would just say, keep your eyes on God's promises, and you keep going with what he has put on your heart. And know this, that you're going to run into some things that are going to be a discouragement to you, but perseverance is needed. Perseverance. Patient endurance. I like that as well. Let's bow our heads and prepare our hearts for communion. And we're going to tackle this unknown territory in just a few moments here. All right? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the message has been this: persevere. What has God told you, either through his word or in your spirit? The question is, are you obeying and doing what he's called you to. And if you're here today and you say, you know, I've been trying, but I have run into some real headwinds. And to be real honest with you, I feel like tucking tail and running back to the home country. It's just a whole lot easier there. And everybody knows my name. But friends, perseverance is what is needed. Perseverance. And I encourage each one, I preach this to myself as well, to continue to believe God and continue to obey. And don't give up. If it's the right thing to do, just keep on keeping on. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this lesson of faith from long ago. And Lord, help it to settle deep into our thinking. Lord, help us to know that we're not the only one going through difficulties and challenges, unexpected circumstances. Lord, please help us to persevere, to get up and go at it one more time. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.